Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Happy Monday to you. And welcome to this edition of the Casual PLR. This is PLR. Like, we got a lot of talking to do today. So, Duke's out. Don't tell me your bracket isn't busted. Because I know you're bracketing. Mine's been busted for a while. But that Kentucky loss didn't win. But good news for Calipari. Looks like Kentucky's offered him a lifetime deal. And I'd take it to the bank. I definitely would. I wouldn't look, I wouldn't blink, I wouldn't entertain another offer. I'd take that. I like how the Lakers are out. LeBron is shut down. And me, along with everybody else, is still talking about it. I guess that's a good thing, right? No one's talking about Cleveland. So we'll get into that, too. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Located on Alma School in Chandler Heights, 4991 South. Alma School, to be exact, that's on Alma School, like I said, in Chandler Heights. Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. Get in there, let them know PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You also become a club member. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor. You don't worry about your sticks going bad. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Like I said, get in there, let them know PLR sent you 10% off your cigar purchase. There are some restrictions, so make sure you are checking in. So let's jump right to it. Let's talk these brackets. And like I said, if you're telling me that your bracket is still alive and you're still in it and you're still doing good, you are a liar. You are lying to me. There is absolutely no way that you, and listen, if you pick this Final Four, I'm not going to say you're not a basketball fan. I'm not going to say that. I'm just saying I don't know one person that follows basketball down to the experts, down to people who watch way more basketball than I watch. And I mean way more basketball than I watch. If you would have told me that an Auburn, Michigan State, Virginia, and Texas Tech, Final Four, would be what we're watching,
mm-hmm.
I would have said there's absolutely no way. Absolutely no way. Especially when you're looking at some of these kids and the way that they've played basketball, the way they've shot the ball, the way they've done so many other things that they've done. Michigan State? We know what kind of coach Tom Izzo is. But no one believed that this was one of those Izzo teams. And if you say you did, you're lying. If you say that you thought at the beginning of the year that this was an Izzo team that would have competed and been in a Final Four, I would have told you to your face, you're lying. We looked you dead in your face and told you you were lying. If you would have said to me, Virginia, who went out last year, who was the first number one seeded team to lose to a 16, I would have told you you were lying. Especially with the slow start they had against Gardner-Webb. For a second, I know most of you thought, Gardner-Webb going to beat them. Because even I was sitting there thinking Gardner-Webb about to beat them. I even remember saying, as I was sitting at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, which is a sponsor of this show, saying, boy, Virginia don't have a good second half. Mentally, it's going to eat them up. And it's not just me. You can see the worry on their faces. You can see the worry on Tony Bennett's face. You can see it. But they found a way there. And then they got by Oklahoma. And then they got by a really good game, Oregon team. And then you're like, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to do this. And then they got a call here and there against Purdue. And lo and behold, here they are. And then you look at where Michigan State came from. You know, they beat up on Bradley, and then they took care of Minnesota again. LSU game was a great game. But the shoe finally fell off the foot for Duke. Duke should have lost to UCF, but they didn't. Went their way. Got a call that wasn't called. You want to say that? Should have lost to Vitek, but they didn't. They found a way. I guess the third time wasn't the charm. There was no way to be found this time. Michigan State is dancing in that Final Four. And you have to give some big ups to Texas Tech. Beat a very good Buffalo team. Beat a very good Michigan team. And then just blitzed Gonzaga. And I thought Kentucky. Wow. Well, I picked them, so obviously I thought that they would be good enough to get to the Final Four and win the whole thing. But they weren't. Because they ran into a determined, hot shooting, great playing Auburn team that's on a roll. And Auburn not only beat New Mexico State, they beat the snot out of Kansas. They beat the snot out of North Carolina. Kentucky had them. They had a shot. Even playing without Chuma Okeke, Auburn had a shot. And that's a sad story about Chuma Okeke, one of their best players, tore his ACL, and it is obviously out for a year. But they still just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And now they're in the dance. And so now we have a Final Four that consists of one number one seed in Virginia. Michigan State and Texas Tech against Virginia and Auburn. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be honest about it. You're going to say, oh, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, it does matter. When you looked at Virginia and Auburn, you can't tell me CBS wasn't saying, please, God, let Duke get there. Once Kentucky lost, you know that the sponsors were sitting there saying, oh, my God, please let Duke get here. See, for the basketball fans, Virginia, Auburn, one of them winning it all, how great would that be? What a story. Texas Tech winning it all, what a story. How great that would be. Michigan State, Tom Izzo. Now the sponsors are saying, please let Michigan State win. Please let Michigan State beat Texas Tech. That way we can pan out. We can pan to the audience. We can pan over. We'll see Magic wearing that green. We'll have a Mateen Cleave sighting. We'll get Draymond at the finals because NBA doesn't play on Mondays nights of the championship game. They give the whole stage to colleges for the NCAA championship. Now, Virginia can say, well, we're going to have Ralph Sampson there, but can't say, oh, no, Ralph. Auburn, hey, at least we're going to have Charles. Charles is going to be at that game, or Charles is going to be in the studio. They'll be at the game. I take that back, because they'll be broadcasting live from the game. That's it. So now what they're saying is, and I can tell you right now, believe me, old fan, listen to me now, believe me later. Advertisers want Michigan State to play Auburn. That way you could have Magic going to Charles, Charles going to Draymond, Draymond going to Charles, back and forth. I'm sure you have a Cam Newton signing. You'll have something. But if Virginia plays Texas Tech, other than the loyalists that love basketball, college basketball, other than those that just love watching championship games, how do you sell to the average fan Texas Tech playing Virginia? And as an advertiser at CBS, you know they're sitting there saying, please, 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 pretty please. Keith Sweat, please, babe, 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 please let Michigan State play Auburn. And if Michigan State doesn't play Auburn, at least, please, please, babe, babe, please, let's get one of them in. Now, I do want to go back to Duke just for one moment. We heard a lot of people take shots at Cam Reddish. They call him disappearing. I've heard people come out and say, why doesn't he just stay in college? One more year, get coached up, a little bit more, he disappeared. It was a two-man show. It wasn't fair to the other players. Played 37 minutes. Had only 8 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. You know, how are his numbers worse than Javon Delorier? Cam Reddish is supposed to be a high draft pick. Where was he? How did he disappear? What's going on with him? Stay one more year. Stay with Trey Jones. Maybe it'll be different. I look at you and tell you, if you're one of those people in that camp, I look at you and tell you, you don't lost your damn mind. I heard Stephen A. Smith say, this brother going to go up and, no, I'm just kidding. Said that you don't want it if you draft him. As he's been told by someone, he's obviously going to play against grown men. Don't be surprised if he's in a G League. Cam Reddish is, from looking at most NBA mock drafts, is a top 10 pick. he will be guaranteed millions of dollars. I don't care if he's playing in the G League, the H League, I League, L League, N League, M League, P League, Q League. I don't care what league the NBA moves him to. He will be guaranteed millions of dollars. And the only thing he can do at Duke is hurt his stock. Can't get better in terms of his draft. And you're saying, well, you're top 10. What if he gets up, comes back, and he goes to number one? What if he comes back and tears his ACL? What if he comes back and he breaks an ankle? What if all these things happen? What if he comes back and plays the same as he played this year? What if there's no injuries, but he comes back and he plays the exact same as he played this year? Is Cam Reddish still projected as a top 10 pick? No. I have that for you now. I can answer that for you right now. An unequivocal no. He would not be. So everyone thinks, well, what if this person gets injured, or what if this happens, and what if this happens? You got to say, get your money, kid. Get that money. I would rather be able to be a 23-year-old out of the NBA with millions in my pocket than 22-year-old coming out as a second, third round pick, struggling to make a team with nothing in my pocket, or coming out instead of being drafted in the top 10, now I'm drafted at 25 where the guaranteed money is a lot less. And next year, it's no cakewalk. He's coming out, and there are other people coming out. And I'm sure they haven't said it yet, but you know they're going to be in the NBA draft. Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Nico Mannion, Isaiah Stewart, Vernon Carey. These are all guys that are going to be coming out too. What if they jump above him? Cam Reddish, listen, but don't hear all these people. Come out and get your money. Come out, get your money, get your top 10 pick. Keep it moving. Tell them other people thank you. And no matter how they, come out and get your money. A couple other pieces of news I want to jump into. Kentucky has offered Coach Cal a lifetime deal. I've heard Coach Cal called Nate Charmer, magician, used car salesman. I've heard him called just about everything. Everything but a child of God. But there is one thing that Coach Cal can say to you that a lot of other coaches can't. And I'm going to give you a list of things that he can tell you that a lot of other coaches can't. Bam Adebayo, Eric Bledsoe, Devin Booker, Isaiah Briscoe, Willie Cauley-Stein, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Hamidou Diallo, De'Aaron Fox, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Andrew Harrison, Enes Kanter, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Brandon Knight, Kevin Knox, Trey Lyle, Jody Meeks, Darius Miller, Malik Monk, Jamal Murray, Nerlens Noel, Patrick Patterson, Alex Poitras, Julius Randle, Karl-Anthony Towns, John Wall. You know those are? Those are his kids that are in the NBA right now. Same with Tyreke Evans, same with Derrick Rose. If I'm John Calipari and I'm the head coach of Kentucky, all I have to do is sit down and read those names. And rumor has it, he had talked to others. Listen, John Calipari isn't going nowhere because Kentucky's not going to let him go nowhere. He's the highest paid basketball coach in the country. Total compensation, $9.2 million. Some of these numbers are coming to me from ESPN. He'll get, just for being employed by the University of Kentucky, he'll get $2.6 million every July just for being employed. Would you leave to go to UCLA? Listen, let me tell you something. UCLA is not a good job. It's not. I'm going to ask you this question, and it's something I said a long time ago. And it has to do with college basketball being in the same city as major, not major, but NBA teams that do very well, and how the culture of sports has shifted, and how those teams are now having a hard time being very good in the same city, competing for the same dollar. See, for years, people would say, well, the school in Tucson gets everybody, and ASU seems like they would be a better place to recruit because it's a better place to live. One, because it's a nicer city, and two, it doesn't look like hell froze over or hell heated up. And I agree. And I was one of the people that used to say that, but then I started thinking, wait a second. For years, the Suns really been a good team. I mean, for years now, they haven't. But there was a point the Suns were a good team. They never won a title, but they were always a competitive team. So ASU was always competing for that dollar. There's nothing to compete in Tucson with. Maybe you go to a basketball game where you whittle, and I use that word on purpose, whittle your fingernails down. But in L.A., you have two NBA teams, and you have two colleges in SC and UCLA, and I know UCLA has the history. But I'm not talking UCLA in the 60s. I'm talking UCLA in the 70s. I'm not even talking UCLA in the early 90s. I'm talking UCLA now. Well, what about Detroit? Yeah, Michigan State is just far enough away. Ann Arbor is just far enough out of Detroit. But when you look at the schools that have been very successful, Duke isn't far enough out of Charlotte, they're not competing for that market. Kentucky's far enough out, they're not competing for a market. When Louisville was good, they're far enough out, they're not competing for a market. And look at the teams that are in there now. Texas Tech, they're not competing for a market. Auburn's not competing for a market. Kansas is not competing for a market. Perennially good. I just want you to stop and think about that for a second. And if I'm Coach Cal, and I have all this, why go to UCLA and try to resurrect something into what you already have? And I'm going to use that as my segue into the NBA, because I've been saying that about Klay Thompson forever. Why would you leave what you have in hopes to get what you have? Sounds like I repeated myself, didn't I? Because I did. Why am I going to trade in my Ferrari to drive a Camry in hopes if I drive the Camry long enough I can have enough money to buy back a Ferrari. Why am I going to leave Golden State? It's won 3 out of 4 final titles in the last 4 years, possibly 4 out of 5. Worst case scenario, 3 out of 5 to go join a team with an aging superstar who's not going to get, look, people can say what you want to say to me, and I can take it. I'm a grown man. LeBron is not getting better at this stage of his career and his body. You're not going to see the 8-year-ago LeBron. So I'm going to leave the team with the best record in NBA, probably, and I say this from talking to other NBA players, the easiest superstar in the league in Steph Curry to play with. And my titles to run, go play with LA, who's on pace to have the same record that they had last year, this year, with one of the top players in the league. I don't see it. And speaking of LA, LeBron has been shut down for the remainder of the season. He's been shut down for the last 5 games. And I'm wondering why it took so long. Honestly, I would have shut him down the second that you knew you were officially eliminated from the playoffs. And the story that they're telling is a double story. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth. LeBron said, I'm never going to cheat the fan. I'm never going to cheat the game. And I 100% believe. 100% believe. I just don't think he would be the person that would do that. But I believe he knew they were going to shut him down. Magic knew it. Luke did it. He knew it. Rob Pelinka knew it. They all knew he was going to be shut down. I just don't think that was the narrative they wanted to use the second they got eliminated from the playoffs. But you can't think that everybody is playing the fool, because now we're hearing LeBron never really was healthy from that groin injury. He was never really right from that groin injury. And he's been doing what nobody else could have done on that groin injury. So if all that's true, why did you run him out there to begin with after they were officially eliminated from the playoffs? Why did you run him out there when, common sense-wise, they were already eliminated from the playoffs? Because at the time, we were being sold that he was healthy. Now we're being sold that maybe he wasn't as healthy and no one else could have done what he did. Sounds like a lot of double talk. And this week, I'm going to get into that a little bit more. But when the season started, I said to everyone, and you can go back, look it up on this show, mark it down, I said, without a doubt, the Lakers will not be able to be 13 or 14 games better with LeBron. And that was not an indictment on him. It was simply, they are not going to be in the West 13 or 14 games better. Oh, but he was hurt. Oh, but Lonzo was hurt. Oh, but Brandon Ingram got hurt. Again, don't let facts get in the way. When he came back from injury, they were still 2 games above 500. 15 games better as of right now. Let me rephrase that. 9 games better would have put them in the playoff hunt. Let's take out the loss against the Knicks, loss against and I'm giving the bad losses they had with LeBron. Loss against the Knicks, loss against the Pelicans, loss to the Suns. And I don't remember who else, but a couple more bad. Let's throw those other 5 bad losses in. And let's add that to their total. You know where that puts them? That puts them at 40-37. 40-37. You know what that is? A game behind the Kings for the final playoff. playoff spot. Again, don't let truth, don't let facts get in the way with what I'm talking about.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
Okay, so basically, if you're on Devin Booker for scoring to try to help the Suns win, jump off a bridge. I can't say that anymore. Go find yourself. I forgot. You can't say that because someone might actually do it, and then that's unfair to someone that may. So that's a new political term. I walk that back. I'll just say they start watching basketball. They start watching the Suns. And I know people have heard me say organically, I like to see people score, and I do. Look, if you're down by 30 or you're down by 20 and it's a minute left or 2 minutes left, I think you should pull people out to avoid injury. And there were a couple times I'm like, up in Utah, I'm like, he's trying to get 60, 59 is fine. Don't try to manufacture the last 2 points. But he should have been in that game because they were losing with a chance to win. This weekend, when he's put up 48 against Memphis, they were losing. They had a chance to win. Hell, they were winning before that. But if you think that Devin Booker is just quote-unquote stat hunting, I think you shut the hell up. I think you should find another profession. Because basketball obviously isn't your thing, man. And if that's the way you feel, then I'm just saying you're a walking, talking idiot. By the way, today is April Fool's Day, so don't be fooled. Don't fall for the okey-doke from anyone today at all. Tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel. Friday, we are running a best-of show. It is opening day for the Diamondbacks. We'll be on an assignment there. It is also the last home game for the Suns. We're running from one stadium to the next. We do not stop. So next Monday, you'll have a complete update in the last home game. I mean, if I did not say that for the Suns. Got some good guests coming up this week. So make sure that you stay tuned. On the Twitter, Facebook fan page, Instagram, hopefully you can find good stuff. From the Sports Cave, Cave with a K, sportscave.com. Again, Cave with a K, make sure you check me out there. You can get me on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Until tomorrow, thanks for joining. This has been a Cave Show. This is PLR. Have a great rest of your afternoon.